Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, crowd favorite, Sheriff Mark Cryer, retired FBI whistleblower, now currently the sheriff of Walla Walla County in beautiful, the state of Washington. So you got to love it. So wine country, as the sheriff likes to say. And hey, I haven't even told the sheriff about my trip that I just had over there to California. I got the Napa Valley. So that's about as close as I got, Sheriff. I know. We've also got our guys from Compliant Technologies. Of course, you know, our favorite product that they have is called the Glove. It's absolutely incredible. We've got Jeff Nicholas, CEO of the company, and also Dan Dela Cruz. So thank you guys so much. When you go to the site and watch those cool videos, it's Dan that you're going to see operating that glove with a, he tries not to smile when he does the glove thing, but I can tell, he's just got to love his job, and he'll really love it in January when he gets to do the glove on me. So anyhow, so thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring this quality content to you. Our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. And then we have Jeff's company, Jeff and Dan's, ComplianteTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio since Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. We've also got AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor, Gunlearn.com, our Medicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, right now on this live show, we're streaming to over 1 million followers on social media. Twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. Check it out, including the shirt I'm wearing came from there. FishOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter. So when you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney World in Orlando, guys, you now have options. Hook up with Zach for the bass fishing charter, or if you're feeling more adventurous like Dan Dela Cruz there, do the Florida alligator hunting, catch and relocate alligators. It's a wild experience. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for hearing our content. And also Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. And finally, Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now here's what we're going to be talking about today. We have assaults on ICE agents. They have surged. Guys, this is hard to believe. Over 1,000%. You've got to be kidding me. And then we've got Denver jury awards nearly $20 million to six bystanders who were injured in a Lodo police shooting. And this all goes to being aware of the backdrop, because we have three officers, not all performing at the same level. And then we have Las Vegas. We have a police officer shooting a suspect who tried to stab an officer with a vape pen during a fight. We've got another one saying, and police officers fatally shoot an armed suspect when he points a gun at them. We've got the city seeking to overturn a judge's order limiting LAPD use of crowd control weapons. And we've got, if we have time to get to it, K-9 from North Las Vegas. They arrest a 36-year-old bad guy for multiple shootings, and we have a K-9 involved. So we'll cover those as we have time to get to them. So guys, if you're ready, without wasting any more time here, let's talk about assaults on ICE agents going up over 1,000%, according to lawofficer.com. And it's actually 1,150%. So guys, listen to this. And I mean, when you hear the stats and hear the reasoning, you're going to say, okay, yeah, all that makes sense. It matches with what I've been hearing in the news, but we're bringing everything in the one spectrum so we can keep our eyes on it. And it's really kind of scary, especially when you consider the catalyst, like what has changed, what is causing all this. So assaults on ICE agents, they've exploded in 2025 this year, soaring more than 1,150% compared to the same period last year. So that's just in 1 year, according to newly released data from the Department of Homeland Security. So from January the 21st to November the 21st of 2024, so that's a year ago, DHS logged just 19 assaults on ICE agents. And over the same stretch in 2025, that number went from 19 to 238 attacks. And that's a stunning escalation that they say, the officials say, is tied directly to political hostility toward federal immigration enforcement. So that's the little nexus there, the political hostility. And we're going to continue. You know, DHS officials describe a pattern of violence that goes far beyond verbal abuse. So ICE personnel, they reportedly have been shot at, rammed with vehicles, targeted with Molotov cocktails, physically assaulted during arrest and facility operations. And recent flashpoints include coordinated July 4th ambush outside the Prairie Land Detention Facility in Alvarado. We all remember that in Texas. Suspects, they were had body armor, using fireworks as a diversion before they opened fire and injured responding police officer. And in a September sniper attack on the ICE field office in Dallas, we had two detainees. I mean, they hit the guys that they were protesting for, but they left two detainees dead and another fatally wounded days later. And then DHS leaders and senior Trump administration officials, they place much of the blame on what they call sanctuary politicians and activists who have been spending years portraying ICE as illegitimate or abusive. And they've been arguing that repeated comparisons of ICE officers, they've been comparing them to Nazis and slave patrols or secret police. And this has actually helped normalize harassment, doxing, and physical attacks against these ICE agents. And not only them, but also their families. And one DHS official even warned that when elected leaders demonize immigration agents, some people will eventually treat violence as justified politics. And that is scary. So, gentlemen, there we have it on the first topic. It's a little bit deep. And again, when I think about all the things that ICE is going through and how many hands are going on bad guys, and then the optics, because of who they are and who's complaining, there's a camera covering everything they do. And that's why I think products like the glove are so important. And we're not even talking less lethal. We're talking non-lethal in this situation and about lowering liability and not giving the media any more ammunition to run with. Guys, whoever wants to cover this first, and Jeff, you want to go ahead and take a stab at it? Jeff Nicholas?
Yeah, sure. I just had to find the right button, brother. Listen, anytime you foment violence and beyond that, add the National Guard that just was killed. That this is where this is going. So this is going to become greater as long as we keep fomenting this division. And when we have people in various places that have a microphone or a megaphone to create discord and division in the country, we have to honor these men and women who are trying to use the Constitution, the rule of law, and the authority that was been given to them by DHS, by the executive branch, by the DOJ to, carry out the law. And when we're doing this and demonizing certain aspects to try to form a political opinion, you're going to get into trouble every day. And this is, and I've been saying this a long time on various podcasts and platforms, that we have people that are trying to destroy us from within, and we have to stop this pretty quickly.
But out of all those podcasts and platforms, this is your favorite show.
This is my favorite.
I just wanted to clarify. See, I don't often get to see Dan Dela Cruz smile, but that was a special moment right there. In fact, I may have to go back and get producer Will to freeze frame that, because we rarely see it.
Hey, brother, this is my favorite, because you and I are cut from the same cloth, and we've had that conversation on many, many occasions. So I'm glad, sir. For sure. The point is, this is something I've been saying, and it's been resounding with me, and I've been talking about it for a long time. Rome didn't die from the outside, it died from within, and we cannot be like Rome. We have got to tighten up our shot group. We got to say the end of the nonsense, and it's not always going to be pretty, but we've gotten to that point where we're making it not pretty in order to clean up our own house.
Yeah, it's sad, the rhetoric, and we could just easily throw the National Guard in on this conversation as well. We got two sides of this, right? We've got the catalyst, what is going on with the media and with the other side that's causing people to act out, politically, and it's dangerous. People are getting seriously hurt and they're getting killed. But then on the other side of it, we've got to have our guys keep their head on a swivel, unfortunately. I haven't even mentioned that the fact that we've got family members of ICE agents that are getting threatened too. And where does this end? So it's kind of sad that you have to watch from all corners and all sides and everywhere you go. And the more people that find out who you are or what you do for a living, the risk factor, continues to increase, and it's not getting any better. It's over 1,000% just in the last year. Where are we going to be at next year? So.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
So, well, gentlemen, if you guys are ready, we've got an update that I would like to cover, and it's some pretty fascinating stuff. So let's jump to our next story here. in his update story. And we've got roughly about a minute before we take our first commercial break. And at CBSNews.com, we have a Denver jury awarding nearly $20 million to six bystanders that were injured in a Lodo police shooting. So the jury ruled against a former, and notice I said he's a former Denver cop. His name is Brandon Ramos. It's a civil trial. And our cop fired into a crowd of people in the Lodo neighborhood back in 2022. Again, we're talking Denver, Colorado. The jury awarded $19.75 million to six bystanders who ended up being injured that night. And our cop pled guilty to third degree assault in his criminal trial. So he did plead guilty. That was back in January of 2024. He was sentenced to 18 months of probation, stripped of his certification from the Colorado Peace Officer Standard and Training. And now it's barring him from serving as law enforcement in Colorado, just within Colorado, though. So we're going to talk more about this and what happened in just a second. Time for our first commercial break, gentlemen. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. And, you know, when you're looking for gear, you can get your gear from almost anywhere, especially when you start looking online, right? But what is important, I want to remind everybody here, is supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Galls at Galls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Galls at Galls.com. And they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they've given me a code to give to you guys that it will get you 15% off your next order. It's Radio 15. So type in Radio 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Galls.com. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Galls gift card, and they will be your new best friend. Again, that is Galls at Galls.com. All right, guys, now we're talking about Jeff and Dan's company, Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yeah, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. And when you go, make sure you watch those cool videos. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State, and also Jeff Nicholas and Dan Dela Cruz from ComplianTechnologies.com with the Glove. And hey, we left off talking about a Denver cop named Brandon Ramos. And this article is from CBS News. Denver jury awards nearly $20 million to six bystanders that were injured in a shooting. So our Denver cop, Brandon Ramos, and I should say he's a former Denver cop. There's a reason for that. It was a civil trial. He fired into a crowd of people in the Lodo neighborhood back in 2022, and the jury awarded $19.75 million to six bystanders who were injured that night. And Ramos ended up pleading guilty to third-degree assault in his criminal trial back in January of 2024, so that's almost 2 years ago, for which he was sentenced to 18 months of probation and stripped of his certification, his law enforcement certification for the state. Now, the article goes on to say that he shot at an armed suspect in a busy neighborhood, but he injured these six individuals who were standing behind or around the guy later identified as Jordan Waddy. Now, Waddy was later charged and pled guilty to possession of a weapon by a previous offender. And it was also sentenced to 30 months in jail. Now, two other officers, though, ended up firing their weapons that night as well, but they were clear of any wrongdoing. And there's footage of the shooting, and they had body cam footage on this. So the footage showed that from the other officers, the ones that weren't charged with anything that were cleared from their positions, and they were directly in front of Waddy, there was nobody behind him, meaning the bad guy, Waddy. So the backdrop was clear. But from Ramos's position, our guy that got jammed up and he's no longer there, there was a crowd of people behind the bad guy, and they were in the path of his bullets. The jury deliberated for about a day and a half and returned a unanimous verdict around 4 p.m., and the trial started back on October the 7th. So the So here's some statements. And it says this verdict sends a clear message to the Denver Police Department. If you will not discipline your officers, a jury of your peers will. Ouch. That was Siddhartha Rathod of a law firm telling CBS News Colorado. And then it goes on to say that the verdict sends an unmistakable message that officers must consider the safety of our communities when they decide to use deadly force. Officers cannot treat the people of Colorado as collateral damage. The significant award recognizes the suffering that these six victims endured at the hands of an officer who vowed to serve and protect, but instead, he ended up shooting to the crowd. And Ramos was on administrative leave throughout the criminal trial until he entered a guilty plea, and then he resigned in February of 2024. So we have three officers that took fire on the bad guy, and only one of them was jammed up. Any commentary on this, gentleman? It's a interesting verdict. Sheriff Rod Kreider.
Yeah, I think, one of the things that they don't talk about is, I know when I was teaching a lot of classes as an FBI agent, the average across the United States for training rounds fired by police officers was 66. 66 rounds per year. One of the first thing that gets cut now that I'm a local guy is your training budget when you're looking at stuff. And one of the last things that needs to be cut is your training budget. You need to be able to train your officers and get them to the range and get them competent and confident in what they do. One of the four basic tenets of firearm safety that I add a caveat to as a law enforcement officer is know your target and what's beyond it, and also what's in front of it, because you have a tendency to focus in on your target and kind of cloud out anything in between you and the target, as well as what's behind it. So yeah, we need to know the background. My guess is, and this is purely a guess, speculation, because it's not really clear, but he did a sympathetic shoot. He heard his two fellow officers fire, and he sympathetically shot without a clear, definitive target, and obviously didn't put rounds on target. So we have to train. We have to be competent with our tools and what's on our belt in order to do our job competently.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
The other thing I would like to point out in that article that I pulled out of that is, you got a convicted felon with a firearm and you give him 30 months in jail. That's absolutely ridiculous. Had he been in jail, probably where he needed to be, this shooting would have never occurred.
Can I also add something into that?
Absolutely, Jeff.
You know, I think this is one of the things that really stands out, why it's so imperative. You get with the what we talked about with the ICE assaults and the demonization of law enforcement, your recruiting pool is becoming less and less because people decided, I'm not going to be demonized and I'm not going to be hung out to dry. So our recruiting pool is less. And I know of agencies that have dropped their standards across the board. But at the same time, even with good training, which I totally agree with the sheriff 100%, training is key. How difficult the job is when your adrenaline is flowing and you have fractions of a second to make a decision that could help or hurt others around you. I'm not saying what the guy did was correct, but what I'm saying is almost anybody could do anything at any given point, get with the right stressors and the right and a different perspective in the whole nine yards. So this is how difficult this job is. And our society has a zero defect mentality when it comes, and we hold these officers out to dry, yet we never give them the benefit of the doubt. A lot of times it's always the bad guy doing bad things. And that's not true. That's not true. That officer just did not want to fire into a crowd because he had a so-called authority to do so. We're asking these guys to perform under a lot of pressure. And this is the part of the equation that we're creating within this society because of that kind of a mindset.
You bring up a good point, Jeff. And Sheriff, I was going to ask you if you can unmute your microphone. I got a question for you. You are a FBI firearms instructor, and I know that today's training is not the training that we had 40 years ago, 30 years ago, even 10 years ago. Remember, we used to do a lot of static training and just, not move, no stress. And so how big of a fan are you of having like night and daytime shooting, stressful shooting, and fluid, you know, movement, you know, shooting while you're moving?
You know, so especially since the war on terror started, tactics and shooting have evolved immensely. And I'm a big proponent of you have to keep evolving. Although we were talking yesterday, because I was at training, which is unusual for, you know, for upper echelon to actually be at the training, but it almost comes full circle. You know, some of the techniques that were used 20 years ago are now back in vogue as we go along.
Well, hold that thought. We got a commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, now being tailored for the civilian customer, meaning that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less, but you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider. We've got also Jeff Nicholas and Dan Dela Cruz from Supply Technologies, and he'll answer the almost anything. And so thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. We've been talking about an officer that got jammed up in Denver. We had three officers shoot a bad guy. One officer, you know, did not have a good backdrop, and we had six civilians that ended up getting injured, and they got awarded about $20 million from a jury. So if we're wrapping up that topic and there's nothing else to add, I think it's time to move on to some stories with the video component. So if you guys are okay with that, let's go ahead and pop into our first story with the video component. And our source is, and you know what, there's a channel on Rumble called This Is Butter, and they've got the best law enforcement videos. And so that's where our source is. Las Vegas police officer shoots a suspect who tried to stab an officer with a vape pen during a fight.
Fucking ground right now. Get down. Get on the ground.
Yes, it did.
Get on the ground now.
Stop.
Drop it now! Drop the knife!
Shots fired!
Drop the knife! Get on the ground now!
And so Las Vegas, of course, is where we're at. Las Vegas Metro Police Department. This newly released body cam footage, it shows the moments leading up to a Las Vegas Metro police officer shooting a guy accused of attempted carjacking. So on Sunday, November the 23rd, it's in the middle of the afternoon, 12:25, Las Vegas police respond to report of an attempted robbery and a carjacking at an apartment complex. Now, the first victim was driving through the apartment complex. The suspect, identified as Wade David Griffin, and he's only 38 years old. He approached the moving vehicle, said that he's going to take it. Griffith then pulls out a knife from his bag, and then the victim drives away, and Griffith ends up stabbing the vehicle, but not the victim, right? Then Griffith, our bad guy, continues to walk through the complex, approaches a group of people who are working to repair a car in the area, and he demands that they give him the vehicle, but they don't do that. Then he enters one of the other cars and begins to rummage through it, and one of the victims pulls him out of the vehicle, and then all of a sudden Griffith pulls out a knife from his backpack, and he continues to make his way on foot through the complex. So there's a 911 call finally. One of the victims tells dispatch that our bad guy's slashing in the air. He's going to hurt somebody. So when the officers get there, they see Griffith walking between two buildings at the front of the complex. And the officer, one officer, starts giving him verbal commands. But our guy's, he's ignoring the commands and he's walking towards the officer. So then the officer attempts to take him into custody. And now there's a fight. So the bad guy does not have a knife in his hand any longer. And so the officer is going fisticuffs with him. But this is a great opportunity for a less lethal option, which I'll let, you know, Dan or Jeff cover. So they get into a fight. And here's what happened. Because the fight is allowed to go on, during the fight, our bad guy ends up punching the officer in the face. And then we have Officer Patrick Natale, 31 years old. He arrives on the scene. So now we got two cops, and he uses his taser and verbal commands towards the bad guy. And once again, our bad guy ignores the officer's commands. The officer, they continue to try to take him into custody. And during the struggle, a woman could be heard yelling that, hey, he's got a knife. Be careful. And at that point, he produces something, and officers then yell that he's got a knife. And this even shows up in the body cam footage. And he makes a swiping motion with what he had in his hand toward Officer Natale while holding this object. And it later ends up being a vape pen, but they thought it was a knife. And since this officer thought that he was trying to stab him, he fired his weapon once, but only one time, and he hit the bad guy. So after being shot, bad guy ends up surrendering to the police without further incident. He's taken to a hospital, stable condition. And throughout the course of the investigation, they learned that he was holding actually a vape pen with his closed fist during the struggle. And that's what he had during the swiping motion. But he did have that large knife that he had earlier that was in his backpack. And so that's the way it ended. So, gentlemen, interesting story. We'd love to get some feedback from you guys to see what you think or how the glove might have handled. Hey, Dan Dela Cruz, you want to take this one? This is your wheelhouse, buddy.
Yeah. Like we've said many times, when they're forced to go hands-on and going into that situation, they'd already heard from dispatch that there was a knife at some point. So I was surprised he went hands-on as quick as he did, for one. But in doing so, I mean, had they had our product, it just stops the fight immediately. They're not going to be able to reach for anything, grab anything. He's going to respond much faster. Not going to punch somebody in the face at that point. With the right training and the right tools, these guys can solve these issues much quicker. And hopefully the goal is not to be forced to go lethal. And a point to Sheriff Mark earlier, this all falls back to training, in the point where nobody's getting enough training. So and to Jeff's point earlier, these are all human beings. And in that situation, in that stress, under that stress level, they're going to make mistakes, but we forget that they're human beings. They're in a fight for their life one way or the other. So let's get them the right tools. Let's get them the right training. Let's get them all the training they can, because that's what's going to make the difference across the country.
I love it. Now, I got a question for you, Dan. So I'm a bad guy and you're a cop and you're putting your hands on me, but like in this call, let's just say that I've got a large knife in my backpack that the cops don't know where it is. And then I've got a vape pen or maybe a knife in my waistband that you guys don't know about. Yeah. You're telling me that you put your hand on me with the glove and I'm not going to be able to pull that knife or that gun or that vape pen, or how does that work?
So this will go back to the name of our product. It's conductive distraction and a de-escalation device. When you feel the glove, the distraction that you get is your brain forgets anything it was going to do or anything it was doing. All you want is for whatever happening to stop and go away. You'll take verbal commands very well. So Chip, I can't wait for you to understand. You can hold a little rubber knife in Vegas if you want. I'd love to see how you do with it.
No, I'm just trying to plant the I call it like the word pitcher. Because, you know, I know what people think, but, you know, as cops, we know that the longer a fight goes on, the more it's the more dangerous it gets, because now you're allowing the bad guy time to think about what his next move is going to be. I'm just so impressed. And I haven't experienced it one-on-one yet, and I am looking forward to it. Just like I told you guys before, I'm just trying to maintain bladder control when I'm going
through. You don't have to worry about that.
I know. But I will be the first guy to ruin that record.
No, I'm joking.
But in all seriousness, though, I'm so impressed with the product being able to do that. Just to clear the thoughts, the possibility of the bad guy continuing to think of things that are going to progress it and make it worse, or how he's going to hurt, or how he's going to get away, or how can I escape. And it's just amazing. I guess it just overwhelms him. Thought he can't concentrate on anything but to alleviate the discomfort that he's experiencing.
And also, if I just could add, when that officer, if he were to grab him with the glove, five other officers could grab them as well, because no current ever penetrates the body. There's no fear of an electrical feedback. the only person that feels that toll is the glove. Let's say it wasn't a pen, or he did have a knife, or he didn't have anything, and he tried to reach up and grab that officer's gun. You're going to stop that. Weapons retention, weapons transition. You've eliminated weapons confusion. Whether it's that wrestling with that officer, which I agree with Dan, I was surprised that he went hands-on that quickly, because I appreciate guys that are proactive, but you know, he probably saw the hand, but he didn't see the closed fist. Maybe he thought it was punching, and they realized maybe it was a knife later. But regardless, again, he made a decision. He went hands-on. We would have stopped that fight. We do it statistically within 3 seconds. Yeah. Or less. And it is a dramatic, and a lot of people think at times we've said we've had paid actors. You can't do that. We have 700 agencies letting us know we're not paying a bunch of people to go out here and pretend. This is legitimate technology. It's the 21st century. We can't give you a flying car. That's not compliant technology's job, but we can give you a technology that's less intrusive to the body than soft, empty hand control, and stop the fight almost immediately. And that's why agencies are letting us know 76 to 90% reduction and all the costs associated with the use of force, whether it be medical expense, workers' comp lawsuits, officer morale is going up. I've got a police chief who can hook guys up. We'll turn you on to him. He says, if I told my guys I was taking the glove away, I'd have a mutiny on my hands. And they have used the gloves a lot in traffic stops and getting people out of vehicles. It's very, very effective.
Love it. Well, gentlemen, excellent. So what a great, we got another one with a canine if we have time to get to it. And I'm curious to hear what you guys say, about the glove and how well it works with canines. And I know the story just better coming out of your mouth. So if you guys are ready, we've got another story with a video component that I'd like to get to the next one. And we've got about a minute and 15 seconds before we take our next commercial break. But Rumble.com, again, this is Butters, the name of the channel. St. Anne police officers fatally shoot an armed suspect when he points a gun at them.
Two suspects exited the Pontiac. The driver ran from the car by gripping its waistband and onto the front porch. The St. Anne police officers continue their pursuit on foot. At this point, during the physical struggle, the driver produced a firearm and pointed the firearm at the St. Anne officers. The St. Anne police officer who conducted the takedown fired his duty weapon first, striking the driver. The second St. Anne officer who was providing cover discharged his duty weapon.
And so we're in St. Louis, Missouri. North County Police Cooperative, they released a video from a critical incident review of an August encounter where a St. Anne police officers, plural, they shoot a Belridge guy outside his home. So on August the 20th, right after midnight, two officers fatally shot Troy C. Hamilton. Now, the shooting followed a sequence of events that included an attempted traffic stop, a vehicle pursuit, a foot chase to the front porch of Hamilton's home. And preliminary findings indicated that our bad guy was armed during the encounter with the officers moments before he ended up being shot. Now, the cooperative, the NCPC, they continue to investigate the shooting at the request of the St. Anne Police Department. And the dash cam footage from the St. Anne Police Department was available as well. And footage shows our police officers attempting to stop a 2007 Pontiac G5 and for a stop sign violation, which is how a lot of these things start off, right? The driver of the vehicle, he does not pull over and he attempts to flee from the St. John police officer. So St. Anne officers then join the pursuit and they deploy Star Chase, the tracking device. The pursuit ends. And at that point, two suspects exit the car. The driver, later identified as Hamilton, attempts to run inside of a home. And then we have two responding officers. They chase him onto the front porch. Now there's a physical struggle between our bad guy, Hamilton, and the responding officers, during which Hamilton ends up being able to produce a firearm and pointed at least one St. Anne police officer. So the St. Anne officer conducts a takedown, fires his duty weapon first, and he strikes the driver. And the second officer, who was providing cover, he discharges his duty weapon. The officers involved in the shooting, they have 6 and 7 years on law enforcement experience, respectively. The St. Anne officers were unaware that the home he was running to actually ended up being his own residence. He was a convicted felon. And again, the laws and rules mean nothing. And we got a commercial break coming up. So I will finish in just 1 second, guys. commercial break. Stick with us here. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist, like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, here's the deal. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity, and you go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State, and also Jeff Nicholas and Dan Dela Cruz with Compliant Technologies. And, of course, they've got my favorite product, and it is the glove. And we left off talking about, you know, an interesting story, just to recap. It's St. Ann police officers. They fatally shoot an armed suspect when he points a gun at them. And so there's a chase involving two agencies, and our bad guy bails from the car, and he's rolling up to a residence. They don't know that it's his residence, so they don't know whether it's going to be a burglary or a forced entry inside someone else's home. And they grab onto this guy, and they're fighting with him. Well, one officer's fighting with him. The other officer's a cover officer, but our bad guy produces a firearm, and then he ends up, you know, being shot. And so we left off where physical struggle, points a firearm at least one of the St. Ann officers, and we've got the St. Ann officer who conducted the takedown. He fires his duty weapon, hits the driver, and the second officer who is providing cover, he discharges his weapon. So we have both officers shooting. The officers involved in the shooting have 6 and 7 years on, respectively. The St. Ann officers were unaware what residence he's running to, and our bad guy's a convicted felon. He had a criminal history in two states, including a 2015 felony drug conviction, and he was sentenced to 8 years on that charge, but released on probation after 3 years, of course. So commentary on this one, Dan Dela Cruz.
Yeah, just real quick. I'll say shamelessly, yes. When he ran up to the door and grabbed him, glove would have stopped him, helped him along that lines. But the point I would like to point out is I would really like to tip my hat to that police officer who in that moment, in that struggle, he was the one on the ground in the struggle, not the cover officer. He was the one that got the first shot off when the gun was replaced or when the gun was produced. That was great work by him. Great work by both of them. And then the cover officer also. So good job to the officers. They did a great job. That officer that was wrestling with him and managing to pull and get that first shot off once there was that threat. And it was very, very impressive to see that and see those guys work together. And they're not even like Sheriff Mark said, those guys aren't even the same agency.
Yeah.
And they worked hand by hand. So that was a positive thing for me to watch. I appreciate their work.
Yeah. And the other thing is it was determined that that gun was stolen and there was a bunch of drugs in the vehicle as well. So it's not like, surprise, surprise, right? Which is why the guy was fleeing. But yeah, our glove would have stopped that encounter on the porch. When I say would have, let me back up. Is it plausible that our glove could have helped in that situation? Yes, it is. You know, to be definitive because of the situation and the way it went down, it's impossible to tell exactly, but it's very possible or plausible that we could have helped stop that encounter before anybody got shot. And if we can do that, that helps our public image with our agency, showing that we are trying, even with this bad guy, he's doing bad things. We can still be humane, stop the nonsense. And hopefully our courts and our corrections institutions and all that, or people don't decide to let these people out. Because if he had been serving his time, he never would have been there.
So true. Sheriff?
Amen to that. Dan's probably well aware. One of the things that jumped out at me, first of all, I was a little confused as to why the number two guy wasn't jumping in right away when he went in, but I didn't see from my angle and from the camera angle, you couldn't really see the gun produced. He might've seen the gun quicker than I did, but we talk about, but we don't really train contact shots just because
there's
not an ability to train them. We always talk about them, but guys are very hesitant to walk up point blank and shoot somebody, even when they need to do it. And so it was good to see that this guy didn't hesitate. He got his gun out. He got in the fight. He had heard the round go off. He saw the gun. He made the contact shot and stopped the threat as quickly as he could.
Yeah, that was some pretty impressive stuff going on. Close quarters, fluid, and changing by the second.
Well, and the gun was pointed at the gun was pointed at the other officer. So that was a great call, like the sheriff said.
Yeah. Well, guys, we have another story here that we're holding, and we got 5 minutes, so perfect timing on this, and just enough to cover it. So, you know, we've got, I'll tell you what, I'll let you guys decide. We've probably got time to cover one, so we can cover the LAPD story about the crowd control weapons and the judge's order limiting less lethal, or we can go to our canine story in North Las Vegas where they arrest a bad guy for multiple shootings, but they it's the one using the canine. Any preferences, Sheriff and Jeff?
I'm all for talking about judges limiting the authority of sheriffs and police chiefs.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Well, I'm getting a nod from Jeff. So here we go. So this one's different. This is LATimes.com. A city seeks to overturn a judge's order limiting LAPD use of crowd control weapons. Now, we're talking about, you know, less lethal guys. So listen to this. We've got the city of LA. They are actually going to appeal this court order preventing LAPD from targeting members of the press with crowd control weapons. So they say targeting. So this article from the very first paragraph is a little bit slanted. The notice of appeal filed comes less than a month after the U.S. District Judge, who's Hernan Vera, barred LAPD from using so-called less lethal munitions against journalists and nonviolent protesters. So they're throwing both in together, nonviolent protesters and journalists. But of course, we've seen a lot of differing definitions of what a nonviolent protester is, right? Especially from the media. Los Angeles police faced multiple allegations of excessive force during protests earlier in the year against the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. And in this case, challenging Vera's injunction, it's going to head to the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and already headed there. The lawyers for the city of Los Angeles and the Department of Homeland Security, they had previously argued that the judge's ban, that it was impractical and that it was overly broad. And although police can still use less lethal to contain unruly demonstrators, the city claimed that the rules put officers at risk because they will hesitate in chaotic situations. And they go on to say that it isn't always possible for police to immediately recognize journalists. The city and the federal agency argued in court filings, and the lawyers for the journalist involved in the litigation, they countered that the incidents that led to the injunction were uncalled for. And then it starts to get interesting. It's kind of like finger pointing, right? The lawsuits brought by the LA for the Los Angeles Press Club, they pointed the scores of video evidence and testimonials suggesting that the law enforcement violated their own guidelines and state law by shooting journalists and others in sensitive areas. This is where it gets interesting, such as the head with weapons that launch projectiles the size of a Minnesota can at speeds of more than 200 miles an hour. And separately, the city is still seeking them to a 2020 injunction that is against the use of certain less lethal weapons during the year's protests. So there you go. That's where we're at on this. You know, whole thing. So I don't know what's happened with the Ninth Circuit Court on this. I think they were supposed to have this already, but Sheriff Kreider.
Yeah. When you read these things, you need to read them with a little skepticism, I think. Number one, if we're going to be using less lethal and crowd dispersal stuff, I think we're past the point of a peaceful demonstration. We're just not willy-nilly going out and shooting into crowds. Number two, less lethal. They talked about the 40. I'm not an expert on the 40 millimeter, but I'm fairly certain it does not travel at 200 miles an hour. It's about the speed of a Major League Baseball fastball coming in at you.
You so, can see it with the naked eye. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It does hurt, but it isn't. And I don't know that anybody is targeting. Hey, there's a press corps guy. Let's see if we can hit him. Just doesn't make sense. But this is once again another agency trying to limit the authority of the expert in the field. You know, law enforcement officers need to have the tools in order to, you know, disperse these crowds in the, you know, least forceful manner that they can. So tear gas, less lethal munitions, those are all tools that we need. And if you limit those, we only have lethal left.
Well, gentlemen, yeah. I hate to call it, but it's been another great show. So thank you guys so much for being here. Sheriff Mark Twider, Jeff Nicholas, and Dan Delacruz from Compliant Technologies. And love the product, the glove. You guys can get more information about this by going to complianttechnologies.com. And, you know, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at the woundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And if you're looking for an organization to get involved with, and maybe you've had, you've experienced some PTSD and you want to help people and be on a call-in line, they need volunteers as well. Or if you're looking for a company or a 501c3 to support, I think these guys are worthy of your consideration. I support them monthly. And, you know, it's nice to support an organization that I don't have to worry about embarrassing me. So I recommend them highly, the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And, guys, another shout-out to our sponsors. Please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. We've got Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, and that is Jeff and Dan's company, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, and MedicareLive, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TwoBells.com, our new online store at Leo Roundtable, and also FisherOrlandoBass.com. Thanks for the support. We'll see you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.